Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The closing of small businesses that have been in existence for decades in New York City is an issue that has increasingly come up on our show as soaring commercial rents have stripped communities of mom-and-pop shops, which were once neighborhood institutions. In Manhattan and parts of Brooklyn, the problem is particularly bad, going beyond legacy shops to many vacant storefronts, even in the midst of the current real estate boom, or because of it, with even big corporate chains like Starbucks struggling to keep some of its storefronts profitable and open. As some of you learned by listening to our show last Friday, this issue is dear to the heart of actor Tony Danza. He owns a 125-year-old Italian cheese shop in Little Italy called Oliva, and he called into our show last Friday during our Ask the Mayor segment with Bill de Blasio to tell the mayor this.
We have so many long-time establishments that have anchored neighborhoods in the city that are just being pushed out by exorbitant rents. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know how you legislate that. But I'd just like to know what your thoughts are about going forward. Like, where I live on the West Side, on one block, and this is the truth. This is what's really kind of startling, is that Starbucks had to leave because they couldn't pay the rent.
Now, even our progressive mayor didn't have much in the way of policy to offer Tony Danza. Just a plea for landlords not to be greedy.
Look, let's be really cold here. It's a free enterprise society that is not particularly warm and friendly to things like older stores, mom-and-pop stores. I would urge the landlords to be less greedy. If you've got a store that's part of the fabric of a community, guess what? You could stop overcharging them and let them survive, and you're still going to be wealthy.
But some people are making policy proposals to confront the out-of-whack commercial rents. Joining me now is City Councilman Daniel Gorodnick, whose 4th District is located on the east side of Manhattan, spanning the Upper East Side, Carnegie Hill, Yorkville, Central Park South, Midtown East, Times Square, part of Times Square, Koreatown, Peter Cooper Village, Stuyvesant Town, Waterside Plaza, Tudor City, Turtle Bay, Murray Hill, and Sutton Place. Ha, what'd I leave out, Councilman?
I think you got it all, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Wait, Times Square, that's not on the east side. Do you represent Times Square?
I do, actually. Huh. My district in Midtown goes right up to Broadway, so we have all the excitement of Times Square and happy to.
All right. And you've got legislation that would ease the commercial rent tax that mandates businesses below 96th Street in Manhattan pay almost 4% of their annual rent to the city. Tell me more.
Sure. Well, first of all, this tax is a relic of another era. The idea that we are charging as a city an additional tax on the rent that businesses are paying is really absurd. It was established in the 1960s when the city had no other tools of revenue raising. It was only intended to impact big businesses, and the tax obligations have been narrowed over time. They were exempted in Queens and Brooklyn, Bronx, Staten Island, and even Manhattan north of 96th Street. But today, you have a situation where businesses in Manhattan south of 96th Street are still having to pay, as you pointed out, a 4% tax on their commercial rent, which for them is double taxation. You know, they're already paying property taxes, which is usually passed through a commercial lease, and then tenants are paying an additional commercial rent tax on the same space. So, you know, Tony Danza in his comments last week and the mayor, you know, if people are looking for solutions, this is one which is clear. We right now have an exemption for the smallest businesses, those that are paying under $250,000 a year. But that exemption has not been changed since 2001. And our bill would increase the exemption from $250,000 to $500,000. We'll capture about 3,400 businesses in Manhattan. It would represent only about 6% of the total revenue that we take in from this tax. And we think that in an environment where people are looking for solutions here, where people are really concerned about the impacts on small businesses, well, there's one thing that the city is actually doing that is harming them, and we should fix that right now.
And listeners, I want to give first priority on the phones to anybody who owns or runs a small business in an actual brick-and-mortar storefront in New York City. Are you feeling squeezed by rising commercial rents? And if so, do you think this is just the marketplace and you have to live with it? Maybe go out of business, whatever. It'll all become, you know, Starbucks and CVS or whatever it's becoming. Or do you think there's a role for city government in terms of policy here? 212-433-WNYC for Councilman Daniel Gorodnick, 212-433-9692. First priority if you actually own or run a small business that's in a New York City brick-and-mortar storefront. There are other things on the table, too, from some of your colleagues. I'll point out to the listeners. I know you're familiar with them. Councilman Corey Johnson, along with the borough president of Manhattan, Gail Brewer, have introduced a bill that would exempt certain supermarkets from the commercial rent tax, regardless of their rent, what's called a certified supermarket. And there's a bill sponsored by council members Helen Rosenthal and Margaret Chin that would require the city's finance department to at least issue an annual report on the commercial rent. Do these all work together, or do you kind of have to pick one way or another to go to deal with this problem?
They all work together, and I think that what you see here is an effort from the council to acknowledge the fact that we've got this outdated tax is actually doing harm to small businesses, supermarkets, hardware stores, restaurants, boutiques, everybody who is in that geographic area. We'd love to be able to scrap the tax altogether. The tax is responsible for some $760+ million a year. So rather than end it all at once, which has such a significant budgetary impact, we thought that looking at the issues of supermarkets specifically, looking at the issue of the exemption thresholds specifically, are a way for us to move the ball in the direction of getting rid of this tax, which is just a great way to throw cold water on the local economy. This is not going to solve all of the problems that small businesses have in Manhattan or other places. I certainly recognize that, but there is something that the city is right now doing, which is hurting them, and we shouldn't be doing things to hurt them. This sort of a tax exists only in one other jurisdiction in all of the United States. The idea that we are imposing that and at the same time, you know, expressing our concern about being overwhelmed by banks and chain drugstores, well, here's a good way for us to alleviate their pain and give them a break.
There is a more aggressive proposal out there that some people are pushing, called the Small Business Job Survival Act, which would make it more difficult for landlords to raise the rent on existing storefront businesses. When the store becomes vacant, that's another story, but there would be restrictions on what landlords could do to gouge or extort money from existing small business owners in their current spaces. Why not go for that?
Well, that's an interesting proposal, as you described it accurately. It would essentially have local government intervening in a private contract between two parties and impose an arbitration process if they can't come to an agreement. There's some constitutional and legal problems with doing that. Obviously, the United States Constitution has a contracts clause, which keeps us from passing a law that actually changes a contract that already exists between private parties. We may have some takings-related issues there. If we were to limit a property owner's right to essentially exclude somebody from their property after their legal obligation has expired, we might have to pay compensation for that. There's also a question as to whether we even in New York City have the jurisdiction to do something, which, you know, looks like it also has significant constitutional problems anyway, relative to state law. So, you know, I love that there is a concept, and I wish that it was something that I could embrace, but I think that there's actually too many legal problems with that, and particularly constitutional problems with that. That's the reason why that bill, which has been around for a very long time, has never moved.
Constantine and Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Constantine.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you. What kind of business do you have?
I am a printer. I run a boutique specialty printing company in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. We've been there for about just about 15 years now and have watched our rent steadily climb to the point where when it's coming up this next year, we're in our last year of our lease, the landlord, I mean, it's going to triple and force us to, at the very least, leave the space we are. We had a J. Crew move in next door, and they're paying every month what I could have bought that building for when we moved into the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But my question specifically is regarding the policies on the books for incentivizing landlords to keep stores open, waiting for the big Starbucks or Citibank to move in. As I understand it, if a landlord owns one or two or more commercial properties, they are able to write off vacant retail space for the current market value, which is self-perpetuating at this exorbitant rate per square foot. And I'm wondering if there's any way to ameliorate that through legislation.
Councilman?
Possible. Don't know the answer, but to the extent that there's the ability to write off vacant space, from a tax perspective, I'm not certain that's something that we would be able to do from a local law. But that said, it's an interesting thought, and it's something that I will certainly take a look at.
Constantine, thank you. Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Gorodnik.
What kind of store do you have?
I'm also a small business owner here in Manhattan. I own a wine and liquor store in the Upper East Side, mm-hmm. and I'm being pressed tremendously by rent, and I'm not affected by the commercial rent tax. I haven't been affected by that for many years. My rent's never been close to $250,000. And I'd like to come back to the SBJSA, which almost came up for city council vote many years ago, but you guys have never brought it to vote. So why can't it be brought to a vote? See how it goes, and then let people address the issues after we see if it actually gets through.
That same proposal I was talking about before that the councilman said may not be constitutional. Why not, if that's a more aggressive fix to this problem, give it a shot and see if it gets through, councilman?
You know, the council is ordinarily does not pass bills that we know to violate the United States Constitution or the state constitution of New York. In fact, we've all taken oaths to uphold those constitutions, and it's not a matter of can we, should we. It's if we are of the view that it's not something that survives a constitutional challenge, we really can't pass it. And I understand there's a lot of interest in the bill, and that's the reason, though, why you don't see a vote on that bill, because it's got so many significant problems that it would not survive a challenge, and the council has an obligation not to pass things that itself views as unconstitutional.
Now, City Hall, meaning the mayor, has commended you for introducing these bills, but has said your legislation has to be part of a discussion because of the $52 million in revenue that the city gets from the commercial rent tax. So do you have a way to replace that revenue? And in fact, I'll expand on that question, because if we put together that last caller, other people who are tweeting us in support of this broader small business rent stabilization kind of approach, instead of controlling landlords, you're taking money out of the city coffers.
Yeah, that's true. So let's take a step back and look at there's a bill which wants to intervene in the private relationship between contracting parties, which itself has constitutional problems. And then you have something which the city is affirmatively doing that is harming small businesses. So, we should not put to the side the opportunities to think about ways to help small businesses in Manhattan and beyond. But here is one way, which is sitting right here in front of us, where the city is doing harm. Over time, this is going to reduce the burden for 40% of the businesses that pay this tax, but impact only 6% of the revenue that it brings into the city. And what has happened over time is that the number of businesses that are paying this tax have gone up by 62% between 2013 and 2015, and the average bill has gone down, which means that more and more small businesses are now being affected by this, and they shouldn't be. So I don't mean to minimize the broader issue and the broader challenges here, because they are real, and that's why you continue to hear about it on the show and why I certainly hear about it and my colleagues in the council. But this is one area where the city is affirmatively doing something wrong, and we need to fix it.
Jackson in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jackson. Oh, Jackson hung up. In that case, let's try Darius in Manhattan. Hi, Darius. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much. There's too many incentives for landlords to keep spaces empty, hoping for the CVS or the Duane Reade to take their space. Why don't we put a zoning law in saying that if a property is vacant for more than 1 year, the city starts charging an extraordinary tax, and that way it incentivizes landlords to actually make a deal and rent it out to at a more affordable rate.
Look, I think that's an interesting proposal, and one that we should definitely look at, and also consistent with one of the prior callers, which had suggested that, you know, writing off vacant space itself is creating an incentive here. You know, we don't want landlords to be sitting around waiting for some big payday while we, as a community, look at vacant spaces and see the, you know, harmful effects that that has on a neighborhood and small businesses more generally. So I think it's a fair point and something that that I certainly will take a look at. I would note that there have been some innovative zoning proposals that have been employed, particularly on the Upper West Side, to limit some of the storefront sizes for businesses, so as to limit the incentive for somebody to try to squeeze in a big chain drugstore or bank. But this is another reasonable point: the idea of using zoning and using vacant space as an opportunity to create a disincentive to wait for that big payday. So I appreciate that thought.
One more call. Peter in Park Slope. Peter, you're on WNYC. Hi.
How are you? I love this show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that I think I have the answer. And the fact is that we all know that we have social responsibility for people that live in places, but we have no responsibility for people that have storefronts or owners that have storefronts. And therefore, we should all start to look at taking on a responsibility. And why? Because if a small store owner like myself, I'm going to be going out of business shortly, they're going to be raising my rent. And what's going to happen, they might leave the store open, vacant for several months and maybe years. And this becomes a problem to other store owners, and it becomes a problem to people not walking on that side of the street because there's several empty stores. So what I think that you should do is I think that if a store is not rented within a certain amount of time, let's say 3 months, that you have a tax, and a large tax, on that property, and it's a non-rent tax.
That's an interesting proposal, Peter, and I think a lot of people are nodding their heads saying, yeah, why is it that there seem to be prime storefronts in prime neighborhoods that go vacant for long periods of time? If they're so prime, why isn't anybody renting them? And the caller is suggesting that the landlords are warehousing them, waiting for an even higher rent than they can get today. If that's the case, why not tax them for emptiness?
Yep, I think that's the last two callers have made a pretty good argument about the city's opportunity to jump in and create a disincentive for warehousing, and I think that that's something that we should look at and see what our opportunities are. And again, you know, to my point about the commercial rent tax here, you know, that is not the cure-all to all of these problems, and I recognize that. But the reason why we're proposing this amendment is to, you know, help 3,400 businesses right away, give them a chance to, you know, make the upgrade that they've been putting off or hire the workers that they need. But, you know, most importantly, it helps these businesses to keep their doors open and the roots in the neighborhood that everybody wants them to have. And I think that all of these comments go to that core issue. This is one way to do it, one way where the city is like literally stepping on the neck of small businesses. We have to release some of the pressure there. But also look at some of these other options that actually wouldn't violate the Constitution, and I think that that's a very good thing to do.
All right, City Councilman Daniel Gorodnick from Manhattan's East Side proposing to raise the minimum rent at which the 4% commercial rent tax takes effect, raise it from $250,000 to $500,000. A second bill would extend the commercial rent tax exemption to include the cost of space used for advertising theatrical works in particular. Thank you for coming on and discussing them.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.